Chapter 85. The Fountain. That for 6,000 years, and no one knows how many millions of ages before, the great whales should have been spouting all over the sea, and sprinkling and mystifying the gardens of the deep as with so many sprinkling or mystifying pots, and that for some centuries back thousands of hunters should have been close by the fountain of the whale, watching these sprinklings and spoutings, that all this should be, and yet that down to this blessed minute, 15 1/4 minutes past 1 o'clock p.m. of this 16th day of December A.D. 1850, it should still remain a problem whether these spoutings are, after all, really water or nothing but vapor. This is surely a noteworthy thing. Let us then look at this matter along with some interesting items contingent. Everyone knows that by the peculiar cunning of their gills, the finny tribes in general breathe the air which at all times is combined with the element in which they swim. Hence, a herring or a cod might live a century and never once raises its head above the surface. But owing to his marked internal structure, which gives him regular lungs, like a human being's, the whale can only live by inhaling the disengaged air in the open atmosphere. Wherefore the necessity for his periodical visits to the upper world. But he cannot, in any degree, breathe through his mouth, for in his ordinary attitude the sperm whale's mouth is buried at least 8 feet beneath the surface, and what is still more, his windpipe has no connection with his mouth. No, he breathes through his spiracle alone, and this is on the top of his head. If I say that in any creature breathing is only a function indispensable to vitality, inasmuch as it withdraws from the air a certain element, which being subsequently brought into contact with the blood imparts to the blood its vivifying principle, I do not think I shall err, though I may possibly use some superfluous scientific words. Assume it, and it follows that if all the blood in a man could be aerated with one breath, he might then seal up his nostrils and not fetch another for a considerable time. That is to say, he would then live without breathing. Anomalous as it may seem, this is precisely the case with the whale, who systematically lives by intervals his full hour and more when at the bottom without drawing a single breath, or so much as in any way inhaling a particle of air. For remember, he has no gills. How is this? Between his ribs and on each side of his spine, he is supplied with a remarkable, involved, cretin labyrinth of vermicelli-like vessels, which vessels, when he quits the surface, are completely distended with oxygenated blood. So that for an hour or more, 1,000 fathoms in the sea, he carries a surplus stock of vitality in him, just as the camel crossing the waterless desert carries a surplus supply of drink for future use in its 4 supplementary stomachs. The anatomical fact of this labyrinth is indisputable, and that the supposition founded upon it is reasonable and true seems the more cogent to me when I consider the otherwise inexplicable obstinacy of that leviathan in having his spoutings out, as the fishermen phrase it. This is what I mean. If unmolested upon rising to the surface, the sperm whale will continue there for a period of time exactly uniform with all his other unmolested risings. Say he stays 11 minutes and jets 70 times, that is, respires 70 breaths. Then, whenever he rises again, he will be sure to have his 70 breaths over again, to a minute. Now, if after he fetches a few breaths you alarm him, so that he sounds, he will be always dodging up again to make good his regular allowance of air, and not till those 70 breaths are told will he finally go down to stay out his full term below. Remark, however, that in different individuals these rates are different, but in any one they are alike. Now, why should the whale thus insist upon having his spoutings out, unless it be to replenish his reservoir of air ere descending for good? How obvious is it, too, that this necessity for the whale's rising exposes him to all the fatal hazards of the chase, for not by hook or by net could this vast leviathan be caught when sailing 1,000 fathoms beneath the sunlight. Not so much thy skill, then, O hunter, as the great necessities that strike the victory to thee.